We're blessed today to have our dear brother Romeo, who is Juliet.
I speak Arabic. I'm a Filipino.
Obviously, people want to know why you accepted Islam. They took you to the masjid. You didn't know you were going to the masjid.
Oh, no, it's a masjid. I not accept Islam seriously. He said, you're greedy. Why? Why am I greedy? I'm only I can do is to give you food to make you down. I cried. I was abandoned.
You were abandoned when you
passed. Yeah, because I accept a Muslim.
So there's a very emotional story that I'll share with you guys. It brought me to tears.
How many times did you worship God? They worship? I don't know. They asked Allah, if you're real God, let me in the list. I don't know how can I pay back Allah to all that blessing that He gave to me. Yeah, until now.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We're blessed today to have our dear brother Romeo with us, mashallah. And before we get into who is Juliet, we need to know we have Romeo, so we need to know who Juliet is, inshallah ta'ala. Romeo is from the Duat from my era,
yes,
alhamdulillah, in the Philippines. And obviously people want to know why you accepted Islam, but what we're doing in most of our podcasts with our guests is we're leaving that towards the end. Because sometimes we go deep into the story about how someone became Muslim, and we don't focus on the more important things. So what we really want to know is about the Dawah in the Philippines, inshallah ta'ala. And also there's a very emotional story that I'll share with you guys in a bit, inshallah. It brought me to tears, mashallah, with the brother here, a story we'll mention, inshallah, and a bit later, inshallah ta'ala. So tell us about the Dawah in the Philippines. How is the Dawah in the Philippines?
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, the Dawah in the Philippines are really amazing because all the Filipinos, you know that they are so religious. So when you are making dawah to them, it's easy to embrace Islam.
Alhamdulillah. And this is something, and that's one of the main question I want to ask you. I noticed here in the Gulf, you know, Qatar and other Gulf countries, that they embrace, they're the nationality that embraces Islam the most, and very quickly, actually. So, you know, what do you think the reason is behind that? Why are they so accepted to Islam, enter Islam so easily?
One thing is, for me, because they believe in one God, but they don't know what is the characteristics of God. If you explain it clearly and simple with logic, example, they will accept it easily.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. I used that Jesus is not God, using that the logic question that is Mary is a human or God, and then they will answer a human. So if she get birth, is a human or God? They will accept that. Oh, right. That's why he used that. But
it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. Really, it makes sense. A simple question that makes. And then, if they still believing that Jesus is a God, I use the logic, another logic question that if Jesus is a God, he's a baby, right? Then, did you believe that God is the Almighty Creator and the powerful? So if Jesus is a God, when he is a baby, he can leap a one pool of water, pail of water? No. See? If it is, he is a God, it can leap anything. But God can create the earth, the moon, everything. That one is you should to worship the most powerful. I use that in this when I assign in Suq Waqif.
Mashallah.
I use this since I assign in Suq Waqif in Qatar.
Mashallah.
Subhanallah. Every night I got shahada with the help of
Allah. Since you've been here, mashallah, and several people I accepted Islam, mashallah, through your da'wah. How many people have accepted Islam thus far, as you were here in Qatar, mashallah?
When I got in, when I was assigned in Suq Waqif, that I started facilitated almost, I got I think 40 plus, 45 plus.
45 plus. Allah Akbar.
And the last shahada that I facilitated, this is my first ever dawah using English language.
Okay, mashallah.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the shahadas were in Filipino. Filipino.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if I can deliver it right.
In English.
Clearly and simple. Yeah. But alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah.
So where was the person from?
Ghana.
From Ghana. Okay, mashallah.
Allahu Akbar. They accept easily. Because I directly simple and logic, Allahu Akbar, they accept already.
Very good, mashallah.
And with the help of Doctora.
She was there, mashallah.
Yeah, help me to proceed
more in English. Mashallah, mashallah. She's very active. May Allah bless her, mashallah. Tayyib, now when it comes to giving, you know, one of the things that I've always had in my mind when it comes giving dawah to the Filipinos, is that there's something, this is like something I came up with, I don't know how true it is or not, that the fact that they're originally Muslims, yeah. You know, obviously they were you know, forced to convert to Christianity when Spain came and took over the Philippines, but originally all of them were Muslims. Do you think this has anything had to do with it, or?
Yeah, we can use that, but In my experience, and using by Aira platform, I using Gora.
Oh, wait, this is the style. But I'm talking about what's in like their genes. Their forefathers were Muslims. So do you think that there's something inside that has? I don't know. This is something I've always thought about because you know, so many of them accept Islam. So do you think maybe that has anything to do with it? Or
yeah.
It could. Okay.
It could. Right. Because sometimes when I'm as a being a convert, when I hear that, it make more believing to Islam.
Excellent.
It can your works about that.
Mashallah.
But I use it always the tawhid.
Okay. So now, Annie, say, what is the best way to give dawah to a Filipino? Obviously, we know it's easy or easier than other nationalities, but nonetheless, and this is what I've done when Salman came, you know, from Japan. Eddie from Brazil, Sheikh Isa Garcia from Argentina, Colombia. What is the best way to give dawah to these individuals? And this is very important. You know, the foundation we have in the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu an, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sent him to Yemen, he said, "Innaka ta'ti qawm ahl al-kitab," that you're going to come to the people of the book. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to understand the mad'u, the person you're giving dawah to, what is their customs, what is their belief system. You know, how do you give dawah to them? What do you not use to stay away from when you give dawah to them? So Ian, it's important as us for da'is as well that we don't just have a general thing. Okay, they're Christians, so we're giving dawah to Christians. That's only one aspect. Yeah. But the Filipino Christian is not like the Colombian Christian.
Yeah.
It's not like the Mexican Christian, okay? It's not like the African Christian. There could be similarities, right? Mm. But there's differences as well. So what's the best way? If we're going to focus on a couple of things when we give dawah to a Filipino, what should we focus on?
As I said earlier, because Filipino really love Jesus Christ, and the weakness of the Filipino is Jesus.
Mm.
I use Jesus in a right position.
Mm, very good.
That's why I give an example about Mama Mary, the power of God.
Mm.
So when you use it, they will accept it. Because we believe that there's in my experience, we believe all the Filipino believe in one God, but they don't know what is the characteristic. Mm.
So that's the fitra that they have in the national faith. It's one God, but you just have to kind of, you know, clean up the fitra a bit, basically.
Okay. And then I used it also here in Qatar when I become a volunteer here. I use it the opportunity that you are here in Islamic country.
I mentioned this to the brothers before that I think giving dawah in a Muslim country, I don't want to say it gives you the upper hand maybe, but the fact you're here in a Muslim country, it makes people, you know, more inclined to listen to you. So that, like the visitors we had during the World Cup who came from, they wanted to listen. Also, when you're having people who work with you, you know, Filipino, Indian, whatever it might be, if you start to talk about Islam and introduce them to Islam, they're more, you know, respectful to that because of the fact that they're living in a Muslim country. And some might listen out of respect. Others know listen, want to listen out of curiosity, and people they just won't really want to know what Islam is. And I sat with one of the sheikhs earlier from Saudi Arabia, yeah. and he had a good experience giving dawah here to the workers and like security guards from Africa and what have you. So he found the same thing, that they actually wanted to listen. Mm-hmm. So then there's different reasons behind it, but the fact you're here, it opens up a lot of any good opportunities mm-hmm. that we wouldn't have. And another country.
Yeah, I used that you are here in a Islamic country. You know that you are why you are here. God giving you opportunity to listen about the teaching of Islam.
Yeah,
and I use it also. If you want to be a just person, because in our country you are always one sided. Now, God giving you opportunity to be two-sided.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because when you are in the Christian country, you don't. I'm a Christian already, but when you hear God giving you opportunity to be look the other side of religion, that is Islam. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give about learning about this and mm-hmm. then. You will become a just person because you will balance what is the right and what is the wrong.
Excellent.
That I use this one and very then good. Very effective because I use this is the destiny of God why you are here.
Yes, it's very good. It's very 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 good, mashallah. Very powerful. Any other tools we can use for Filipinos or the?
Yeah, I only every day I use that opportunity that look this. All people around you now are very busy in this dunya. How about for hereafter? Yes. Do you think that you have a time for this?
Yes.
Now you are whole day now because the purpose of God, why you, why jinn and human created is to worship Him.
Mm.
Now I'm asking you this day, how many times did you worship God?
Mm.
They were shocked. Oh, I don't know. One time like that. So they will listen to you. How important that you are here in this world.
Excellent.
Alhamdulillah.
Something else when it comes to the Filipinos, there's a softness towards them, a softness in their hearts. There's a very emotional story. I have the video that you sent me, and perhaps me and the brothers can put it on the screen. Which is the sister when she wasn't Muslim.
Yeah,
I don't know if you had talked about Islam yet, or maybe after you talked to her. So you didn't talk to her about Islam.
No.
All she did was put on the abaya.
Yeah.
And she broke down into tears. Just the spirituality she felt. Yeah, getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah.
Every time I see the videos, even I showed it to many brothers and different majalis. I said, look, you know, this is what happened. You know that. She just broke down in tears and how she felt. Later, she learned about Islam and she accepted Islam later, alhamdulillah.
No.
So, is there something in the Filipinos about the softness, this or?
Yeah, I don't know. I want to tell this story.
Yeah, tell please.
That girl is only looking for that Qatar guest and looking for and watching for the people who are. Then I want to wear that hijab, that abaya. And then when she put ready the abaya, he cried, what is this? I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know. And then I want to be a Muslim. When she said that, okay, after you wear that, I will explain to you how to become a Muslim. Mm. And then she cried a lot. She cried. And then he said, I really want to be a Muslim before.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. Filipino is a very soft-hearted.
Yes, yes, yes.
When it comes in religion.
MashaAllah.
But the one thing that you one thing that can the people the Pinoy the Filipino cannot accept Islam because of the family.
Because of the what?
Family.
Okay.
Yeah, because Filipino is a family oriented. Okay.
So there's another thing going back and it understanding the culture. So it's not just the religion, and that's one of my main objectives from these podcasts is to get it out there so the people working in Dawah can understand that. Look, this works in America. It works in the UK. Mm-hmm. We're not really very family oriented there, but it doesn't work in the Philippines because mm-hmm. of that. So how can we do to deal with that? Okay, so that's a barrier now between us and them, the issue of the family. They're scared what their family is going to say. Yeah. They're scared about the backlash because of strong family ties. What's the way around it?
I tell my story because I was abandoned.
You were abandoned when you
became Muslim. Yeah, because I accept a Muslim, but I try to explain it. This is the time you need to believe it first. To believe one God. And after you believe it, try to learn. And if you have knowledge, full of knowledge, you have now shield. When you come back to Philippines, you have a shield. Yes, if they say about bad Islam, you have a knowledge that is not like that,
Because the thing is, what people need to understand, which is very important you're mentioning, is that with the iman, and this is for Muslims and also for new Muslims as well, born Muslims or new Muslims, or Muslims who are coming back to Islam who weren't practicing, that when you the with your iman, when you learn about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Allah, you learn about the basics of Islam. It doesn't have to be in-depth knowledge. Just if you just you're making the effort to learn and learn the basic fundamentals. And the more you learn, the more you increase in your knowledge. The more deeper you go in knowledge, the higher iman's going to go. The iman goes, then the yaqeen, the certainty comes. So that, like you said, I like the example. It becomes an automatic shield.
Yeah.
To protect
they
you.
They will depend.
Exactly. It's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Exactly. They will depend. Exactly. Well, if I got be a Muslim and then go back to Philippines without knowledge, I'm not here now.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, I'm not here now. SubhanAllah.
We're going to come to that in a minute, inshallah, your story, how you accept this now, how you learn. But Ani, before that, I want to mention as well, what are some of the things that we should avoid? Because I like to always focus with the brothers on how can I give da'wah to those people? Also, what are the things I need to avoid? So I sat with Edmar earlier, and we had an interview with him about the down Brazil. And, you know, so avoid this, avoid that. These things are going to be a problem if you're going to give da'wah in the Philippines. Now, I think that, you know, one of the things, even people going to the Philippines for da'wah, we speak English, a lot of them speak English, so that could be done. But maybe even if you're going to go there or meeting Filipinos here in the Gulf, what are the things you need to avoid?
Too much topic that not related to that. The law of Islam, hijab, the pork. You divert it to the main topic, the tawheed, the oneness of Allah, the revelation. Make it sure that your book is the true, the word of God and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, this is very effective when I use it, because sometimes
Gorab,
exactly. Gorab, exactly. When you use it, you know. Even that totally that believe me what I'm conveying. If I said the revelation, they will accept it. Why? I make it sure that I'm saying is from the true God, because from Allah, Angel Jibril, and then Prophet Muhammad, and Prophet Muhammad Arabic until my generation. I speak Arabic. Yes, I'm a Filipino. Oh, do you have evidence that you are now from Jesus Christ, that you believe Jesus Christ? So look for the book of Jesus Christ. It's written to the language of Jesus Christ? No. Oh, how can you say this right? Word of Jesus, word of God. And then, problem. Yeah. So that's why Allah give the last messenger, because all the books are gone already. Mm-hmm. I use that, and they are so effective, alhamdulillah.
It's a very important thing, because I mean, I think what a lot of non-Muslims, they fear, they're the ahkam, the different rulings, the halal, haram, and being forbidden. But and that's why it's important, when you start with the foundation, like you said, you start with tawheed, you start with the basic fundamentals, those things become easier anyways, when it comes to dealing with them, once you have the strong foundation. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in his tarbiyah of the Sahaba, and even how Allah sent the Quran down, was to remind us that things need to be done gradually, and you start with the most important thing. Once you have the important thing, the tawheed, that's why if you look at in the revelation, how it came down, the 13 years in Mecca, and then the 10 in Medina, it didn't come down right away with all of the, you know, the halal and haram. Yeah. You know, the salat was made fard, you know, before the hijrah, yeah, yeah, 2 years before the hijrah. Yeah. But then, you know, the zakat and the hajj and the fasting of Ramadan, all of these things came fard. The other halal and haram, ahkam or rulings, they also were sent down in Medina. But what once the heart was made firm with iman, the man was destroyed, then it was easy. Leaving alcohol, easy, because yeah, the iman was there. But like it came in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she, the Prophet said to her that if it came down right to your people and do not drink alcohol, do not fornicate. Mm. They would never left alcohol. Yeah. They never left fornicating because of the fact that, you know, it was too early for them. So the same thing, same principles we need to learn, mm, like you mentioned now, and people sometimes don't focus on that. The same people, they're humans at the end. The yeah, Quran was sent down to them in the beginning of the da'wah, mm, and then it was, you know, sent down to people now. So the same human being, that same person is going to have the same, you know, way of dealing, mm-hmm, with it as well, and not accepting. So that's a very, very important point. Jazakallah khair. Now, inshallah, if you could tell us your story.
Oh.
How did you accept Islam?
There's so many beautiful stories.
No, about you, your story.
Yeah, my story.
Yeah, just, I mean, yeah.
When I come here, and when I become a Muslim, in Tarlac, there's a lot. If I talk instead,
no, I mean briefly, obviously.
Briefly, yeah. Okay, no problem.
A brief, I know. If I tell my story now, I can tell it for an hour. I can say it in 5 minutes as well. Depends on, you know, what you put in, what you. But just a short version of how you were guided to Islam yourself.
Yeah, I came here in 2012
to Qatar.
Yeah, to work as a pipefitter.
Firefighter.
Pipefitter. Installing the sprinkler like okay, that. Yeah, hydrant. Yeah. And then the first 4 days, my friends invited me to go to mall, huh? Mm. And then suddenly we're in a way when I saw that it's not a mall, because is this a mall? We have a carpet, and then it's not a mall. That is a masjid. And then suddenly I took Shahada, to make it short. That day, after 4 days.
No, yeah. You didn't tell us anything like this.
Yeah, I was strict.
What happened?
I was strict that day. Huh. But, subhanAllah.
So they took you to the masjid. You didn't know you were going to the masjid.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm.
I don't know the story. I didn't hear it before. It's my first time hearing. Yeah, so I'm waiting.
I was strict because my friend said mall. Mall okay, shopping, okay, like that.
Even now, I'm waiting for the store. I'm like, hold on, what happened here?
Yeah, yeah. So, is this the mall of Qatar? There's a carpet? It's like that? Oh, no, it's a masjid. And then after that, I took Shahada. Hmm. But sorry to tell this, I not accept Islam seriously.
Hmm, okay.
Without
ikhlas. Of course, you didn't really know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. Hmm. And I continue to study in Qatar Guest. I was there. But I'm just studying because of food.
Mm, so am I.
Because of food. I'm not serious to study about Islam. Only the food, because my salary that time is very small. I need to save money.
You're getting free food.
Yeah, free food, always. Okay. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Every time.
Interesting story. Just one of the famous du'at in the West now. He told his story when he was born Muslim, but he left Islam.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was very educated, so he became an atheist, unfortunately. So he said, but I loved, you know, the traditional food, the Pakistani food. And so he said the MSA, where he was studying in the university, the Muslim Student Association, they used to always have like the biryani rice and the, you know, this food. And he said, I would love it. So he said, I would go for the food. And he said that even though I didn't believe in Islam, I didn't believe in Allah at that time, or he denied the existence of Allah, is that he said, I used to love listening to the Quran. Mm-hmm. He said, it made me feel good inside. That was the back of the day, you know, the Walkman. You remember the Walkman back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
So he had his Walkman and he would listen to the cassette tape of Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Shatri. And he would listen to Juz'u Amma all the time, just listening to the whole tape. So I always listened to it, you know, even though he didn't believe in it. But he said, because also his memorization was very strong. Oh. So he memorized many of the surahs. So he said the people, and his recitation was good, actually. So the people put him in front to lead the salat. He said, I'm not a Muslim.
Oh, no.
He said, I don't have wudu. He said, I'm just coming for the food. You know, and I would lead the salat, you know, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. But he said, but then alhamdulillah, later he was guided after the alhamdulillah. This was a way for him to come. So sometimes, you know, these things happen, but it can actually be a mean for true guidance later. So that's it's important. So you're going for the food. You got tricked into your shahada. You're not really convinced, but you're there in Qatar Guest Center to learn. So what happened after that?
After 6 months, there's an invitation to go Umrah. And I'm not in the list. Then I asked Allah, if you really God, let me in the list. I think 12 are in the list. All 12 not accepted to go Umrah. I'm the one. Allahu Akbar. When I see the Kaaba, Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
I feel something in my heart. Mashallah. I think this is the truth. And then when I come back, I changed my life.
And you became serious?
No, I become serious. I study. Seriously, when I study, I'm always top in the class. And then after that, I finished the 4 level of basic knowledge in Islam. I finished it. I'm regular Muslim. I never absent in salah. I always not. But my friends that always invited me to go Almana. Said that there's an adawa training, you want to come with? No, it's enough to be a Muslim. I have a pilot. No need to dawa training, it's not enough. But they're so chasing me to do that. And then one time I attend, then I wow,
you liked it, huh?
That is the reward of me doing dawa. And then I finished the training. And the two guys that invited me, not finished, I don't want to graduate. Then, alhamdulillah.
All of this is in Qatar Guest Center?
Yeah, all. My teacher is Ustad Yusuf Ocampo.
Mashallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. And then, I'm going back to Philippines.
So, why did you decide? Because I never asked you this before. I know you were here. I know you learned your basics here. You started even giving dawah here.
Yeah.
What made you decide to go back to the Philippines?
Yeah, because I finished my contract. I need to have to get bigger salary.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I want to go back to Philippines to study safety officer, to be a safety officer.
Okay.
Then I finish my safety officer and I apply again, but Allah not allow me to I don't know why.
Allah is the best of plans.
I have a lot of a story for that, because one time I really want to go back in here in Qatar because I want to learn more. And then I what do you call that? I got my sick lung spot in my lungs. And I asked Allah for 1 week tahajjud. Reading Quran, Yasin, but Tagalog in Filipino words.
Yeah.
I asked that, healed me, Allah. After 1 week, I will get the result.
Results, yeah.
I in the front of the jeepney, the traditional public transportation in Philippines.
Yeah.
And then when I see the result, please, Ya Allah. When I see the negative, and they're like, what happened to you? Allah loves me too much. And then I decided not to go in abroad because maybe Allah has a plan for me. Mm-hmm. And then, alhamdulillah, I'm here. Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah.
There's a lot of story that, inshallah, that can inspire the new Muslim. Because I want to tell all the my life story because maybe they experience this kind of...
Tell us a couple of stories that can be inspirational for you experiencing when they be in dawah, other things, inshallah, as a new Muslim. That can be something inspirational, a couple of stories, inshallah, ta'ala.
When I first month or I come back in the Philippines, I was like this Muslim. I'm going back to... Subhanallah.
That's one of the challenges when a Muslim goes back to his, because here you're maybe in a better environment. Now you're going back to an older environment where you used to get in trouble and do certain things.
And the best thing that I never left is salah.
Alhamdulillah.
Even I do something wrong. And I always make dua, Ya Allah, please forgive me and let me get out of this kind of life.
Yeah.
And after that, making dua, one phone call from abroad.
Yeah.
It's from Qatar.
Oh, Qatar.
He said, "Is you? Is this you, Bob?" "Yes, this is. You know me?" "No. I'm your teacher in dawa. I'm going back to Philippines. Pack all your things, and I will bring you in Tarlac." I cried a lot because my prayers answered again. Subhanallah. Then when I came to that region in Tarlac, I trained a lot about one-on-one dawa, and I got a lot of shahada.
Mashallah.
That time, and then I'm so happy to be a Muslim, and I could practice it, and I avoid all my habits, bad habits.
Alhamdulillah.
And then one time, my teachers go back to Qatar. That's my problem because I have no house, I have no work like that. Then I work to be a construction to build a masjid.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy again because a reward of building masjid for 3 years, subhanAllah.
Amazing, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And then, I mean, to make story short and fast, one time, Allah give me a trial. I got operation.
Okay.
Then I have no single penny in my pocket.
Wow.
Single penny. Ya Allah, how can I get operation? Subhanallah, I go to the operation and go out the hospital. No, it's all free.
Masha.
I don't know. May Allah bless all the people who helped me that.
Mashallah.
Yeah, and then the problem is when I go out to the hospital is the house because I'm living only 5 years. I'm living the inside the masjid. I'm living in the masjid 5 years.
Allah.
Yeah, yeah. Subhanallah. And then the problem is I can live in masjid because I have a blood. I always have a blood. So one brother and sister from abroad that called me, "You can use my house for 1 month free."
Subhanallah.
It is the help of Allah. And then I asked Allah, "Ya Allah, how can I work now?
Yeah.
I cannot live even, it's not forbidden for me to work hard. So how can I
work? Can you survive it? Yeah.
I cannot survive. And I'm operation. One brother inviting me. This is a good story. I hope that you understand my English because
no, it's clear. I'm there.
Yeah. Because you know this brother is so amazing. So why he invited me to eat every day in their house? The first day that I go to your house, I don't even step my feet to your house. Why? It's so, what do you call that? Very poor, very poor. The house is not like us. It's, the roof is like, you know, the Filipino.
Yeah.
And then the floor is mud.
That's what.
Well, yeah. And the two little daughters there. And a plate like this only. I don't want to enter because I feel that why I can enter this kind of house that two little girl, maybe the food that I will eat is for them.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat, but he said, eat. And every time that I put my mouth, I make dua to Allah. And I help this guy very good heart. And then, you know, one time I have a conscience in my heart. I said, I don't want to eat in this brother. I don't want to anymore.
No.
One day, the whole day, I don't show my face to that brother.
Yeah.
In Asia time, after Asia time, he
found you.
Yeah, he found me. Where are you? Why you are not showing you like that? And then I said, did you eat? No. Yes, I eat already. No, I look for all the houses there. I'm looking for you. And then I asked them if you eat. No, you don't eat. I said, I don't want to eat anymore to your house. Why? Well, I don't, because He said, you're greedy.
Allah Akbar.
Why? Why am I greedy? I'm obvious that watch. Why greedy?
He's gonna get hasanat.
Yeah. He said, because you are good in dawah. That's what I'm only I can do is to give you food to exactly. Make you dawah.
Mashallah.
I cried Allah.
Allah.
I cried.
Mashallah.
This guy make me more to do dawah. Yeah. And then I asked to Allah, Ya Allah, give this reward. And then after this, I leave the region and go to the Bikur region to make dawah again.
Yes, sir.
After eight months, I go back. When I go, and the brother invited me again, so excited. I don't know what the feeling said. You know what? When in the front of the house, it's different now. It's already concrete with two rooms.
Yes, sir.
Subhanallah. This is the one that we are. Allahu Akbar. There's a lot.
Jazakallah khair. One of the stories that I was with you together is the first time you came back to Qatar since you left in 2012?
Yeah.
So 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. When you came back, the first day you came to us at Qatar Guest Center.
Yeah.
And you walked into the office.
Yeah.
With Sheikh Muhammad Sabir, Sheikh Yusri, and Sheikh Hazim. And you know, those are your teachers who taught you the basics and the fundamentals, and it was very emotional. And you broke down in tears. I was very teary-eyed myself. And you know, you were embracing your teachers. And you know, tell us about that experience after 10 years.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I feel that time is so magical. Yeah, because I never thought that I will be back here in Qatar. I will see the ustad that
Mashallah.
Teaching me and help me to be
Mashallah. Allah Akbar. Mashallah.
I'm so happy.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I want to thank them.
Mashallah.
To all the things that he taught me about.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, that's why I'm very happy and emotional at that time because it's subhanallah. Until now I feel I'm dreaming. I feel dreaming because it's just through Allah. I don't know how can I pay back Allah to all that blessing that He gave to me. Yeah, until now.
It's amazing. And alhamdulillah that you said that you want to change your ticket. And Allah Mubarak, to change your ticket to stay longer.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because Ayira and Qatar guests now working together. And, you know, they said this is your product. We said to the Qatar guests that now he's Ayira, but he's coming back, mashallah, to be with you guys, mashallah. Your project has returned to you, and subhanallah, you know that you said you want to extend your time here in order to pay back.
Yeah.
You know, and you did that. Alhamdulillah. And mashallah, may Allah bless you. Abu Tayyib sent me the screenshot when you arrived. You went for Umrah, mashallah, bless you, to be able to go to Umrah. And, you know, you were like, right back to the da'wah, mashallah. And this is something, you know, an inspiration and a reminder for all of us to put in the extra hours, put in extra time. Because, you know, some of the, you'll find sometimes some of the du'a, they're looking as da'wah as a part-time thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, that, you know, if you want to get the results in the da'wah, you have to give the da'wah your all, inshallah ta'ala. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things we benefited from you, mashallah, may Allah bless you.
Amen.
And you were just also the team leader, mashallah, at the...
Allah,
at
Subha, Allah. You know, I asked to Abu Tayyib and Brother Salahuddin Fat, you know, I'm not comfortable to be a team leader, you know, this is... Sheikh, knowledge. About
well, I am there. Right away, you know, after my experience with you, and then we said we need a team leader, and they said it's going to be Koya Bab. I said, no, I said, I'll support that. You know? So right away, alhamdulillah, I was comfortable knowing that you, alhamdulillah, you know, and that's one of the good things about the Ayyara Duat, is that we knew right away that, you know, no problems.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be soldiers doing what they're supposed to do, no problems. Getting things done correctly and properly, getting results. Alhamdulillah, that's what we saw from you and the brothers. May Allah bless all of you. As we end, inshallah, our short interview here now, alhamdulillah, people watching, you know, we said it to the other brothers as well, when we have the interviews with them, they want to get involved in the da'wah. You know, they see, mashallah, they see the impact, they see the results of the da'wah in the Philippines. How can they help the da'wah in the Philippines?
Oh.
Our brothers and sisters who are watching now, whether it be in the reading the Arabic subtitles or watching in English, how can they help the down in the Philippines, inshallah?
I never thought that this will be happen, because I as one of my purpose, I really want to work here in Qatar Gas just to. I ask Allah that someone can help to the new Muslim in. Subhanallah. Sorry.
It's okay.
Because I never thought this will be happen, because I ask Allah, Ya Allah, help me, because I want to find someone can help the new Muslim in the Philippines. I saw the situation of the new Muslim there. There's no masjid. The water, as you can see, the water is there is from, I don't know where it came from. That it's not clear. It's like, you know, the when you wash the plate, it's a white color, not clear color. It's hard. There's no toilet. In our religion, in Islam, we should be clean.
Yeah.
So even though we can practice it, how can I force them do it? This one, because the situation. Then when I came here in FIFA World Cup, one of my dua, I'm asking for Allah, give me some one people who can help people. That please look the situation of the new Muslim in Aita community. The Aita community is one of the tribe in the Philippines are really accepting now in a big result now. Yeah. Thousand. Alhamdulillah. Almost 1,000 when I started there.
Mashallah, amazing.
Alhamdulillah. And they are practicing. You know, if you can see the video that I posted in social media, you can see the musalla is made on tarp only. And even the floor is a tarp only. Allah, but it still continue their religion, their faith to Allah. Allahu Akbar. And one of the most viral video now is a mother of Aita. He speak, even though a small knowledge in Islam, they are really eager to share Islam. Every time they call me, oh, you come here, I have about 5 people here to you can make dawah. Every time. This is a 65 years old lady.
Allah Akbar, mashallah.
Allah Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. So we'll put inshallah a link in the description box below for the brothers and sisters who want to support the dawah and through Aira, inshallah, in the Philippines. Alhamdulillah. Aira is doing some amazing work there on the ground. We have 10 OSs.
I hope that you can visit
it. Inshallah, this is the goal, this is the objective, inshallah. I was supposed to have already visited, but it hasn't come yet, but inshallah. Maybe this will facilitate the visit, inshallah ta'ala. And hopefully, inshallah, our brothers and sisters will step up and help out, inshallah.
Amen,
inshallah. And to be part of the da'wah, you know, whatever they can, inshallah ta'ala, in many ways. And even if brothers want to come and visit themselves, and this is what Adnan, you know, Sheikh Adnan Rashid advised about down Africa. He said, come.
Yeah.
Come see it yourself.
Yeah.
Come take some time, you know. Do like, you know, the Tablighi Jama'ah, where you come, you know, we're coming for down for non-Muslims. We're coming just like to come and visit the Muslims, spend time with the Muslims. Because he said the impact it will have, like if you go to this tribe, you go to these new Muslims, when they see people coming from the UK, coming from America, they're coming there just to be with their Muslim brothers. We heard about you. That's going to have a huge impact on them and help keeping them firm. And then when people see the da'wah firsthand, like me, I'm not imagining that, you know, not having clean water to make wudu and for your cooking and things like that. So once that, you know, people help them with, you know, getting clean water, help them finish the masjid, help them learn the basics of the deen, help them, you know, maybe to learn Surah Al-Fatiha and the basic ABCs of Islam, and that continues the reward they get for that. So there's so many things that can be done, inshallah. So this we open the door for them, and the link, inshallah, they'll be able to do all that. Jazakallah khair, Brother Romeo. Kuyabab.
Jazakallah.
It's a pleasure having you.
Jazakallah khair,
inshallah. Hope to see you soon in the Philippines, inshallah.
Jazakallah
khair, Habib. Barakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.